Amen. Good job, choir. Thank you, proclaimers. All right, children's church is dismissed at this time. Follow Tammy and Sophia. They're working with them on Christmas activities in children's church. All right, if you have your Bibles today, I want you to turn with me to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Last week we stopped. We're looking in the book of Malachi, which we will get back after the end of the holiday seasons. But we are looking at praise and thanksgiving and worship. I really enjoyed preaching last week out of Psalms 149. If you don't know that, I write columns, of course, in our bulletin every week, and usually I rewrite the message and put it in there that I preached the week before. Well, I wrote in the bulletin just the very first point of last week's sermon. And I hope you'll take time to read those and look it over, because a lot of times I'll add a little bit to that and I'll change it up a little bit and be encouraged about the area of praise and worship. Psalms 100, listen, in this chapter we find only 5 verses. And in those 5 verses, I call this what is a short description of praise. That's what I call it. Those 5 verses are a short description of praise. But now let me just share something with you. That does not mean that in any way that it is not important. That does not mean in any way that because it is a short description, somehow it falls short. For I want you to understand that this short description is a superior description. This short description is a powerful description. This short description of praise entails within it all that you need to understand and know about praise in 5 short verses. So, if you want to explain to someone about praise and worship, all you need to do is to be able to quote to them Psalms 100. That short description of praise gives a superior and powerful description of praise. It gives us a real challenge to carry out in our lives on a daily basis an amazing and powerful ministry of praise and thanksgiving. So as we read this Psalm today, this short little chapter, a short description of praise, may it cause us, though, in a powerful way to worship our Lord. Listen to what he says, beginning with verse 1 of Psalms 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. A short yet powerful description of a praise ministry. I want us to look at these verses and show what this short description describes about praise and how it is to be carried out in our lives. Number one, first, this short description of praise describes praise, thanksgiving, and worship as a priority. Number one, it describes worship, praise, and thanksgiving as a priority. This psalm opens up going right into praise. There's no preparing for praise. There's no giving some time before we enter into praise. There's no jumping right into other areas that we want to deal with. No, it jumps right in. The very first word is shout. It goes right into the arena of praise. As a matter of fact, when we look down at verse 4, he tells us to enter his gate. To come into his presence is what we're asking, what they're asking us to do. To come into the presence of the Lord, he says, enter into his gates. And what does he say when he asks you to enter into his gates? Does he say as you enter into the gates, start asking God for things? Does he say as you enter into the gates, start listing your complaints that you have? Does he say when you enter into the gates, start asking for all the things that you want to ask him for? Does it tell you when you come into his gates to start talking about all the things in this world that are bothering you? No, I want you to understand something. The Psalms open up with shouts, and the Bible says in verse 4 to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Here's what he says. He's saying these worshipers, when they come into the presence of the Lord, before they even get all the way through the gates, they're already praising God. They're already worshiping God. They're already giving him thanksgiving. They're already exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. As they come into his presence, they come into his presence with joyful thanksgiving and praise and worship. I want to say to you that we have lost this art. We have lost this art of making praise a priority when we come into the presence of the Lord, when we come assembled together. We talk about everything, and we talk to God about everything before we ever getting around to giving him praise and worship and adoration and love. And I want you to understand something. You and I need to understand something very clear. That there are days that we don't feel like giving praise to the Lord. There are days that we don't feel like giving thanks to the Lord. There are days when the only thing that we can do is go to the Lord and ask him and beg him for this and plead him for this and seek him for that. And there are days that we go for the Lord that the only thing we can do is cry and weep. Because on our heart are things that are aching and bothering us and hurting us. So how can we go into the Lord with praise and thanksgiving in those times? Well, first of all, let me say to you that we have an amazing God, and he understands when we're hurting. He understands when we're angry. He understands when we come with complaints. He understands when we're crying. He understands. He knows that we are but weak, that we are human, that we're going to be that way sometimes when we come in his presence. He understands all that. But there's something that you and I need to understand. There's something that you and I need to remember. And it's this, brothers and sisters. If our God was not a God who was worthy of praise, then he wouldn't be able to help us. Hallelujah. Did you hear me and understand what I was saying? How many of you need to be healed? How many of you need to be restored? How many of you need to be renewed? How many of you sometimes just need God to just love you? How many of you sometimes just need him to come to you and lift you up out of the miry clay from where you're at. And you go and you plead and you beg and you cry and you ask. There's nothing wrong with that. But remember something while you're doing it. If God wasn't God, if God wasn't a God who could heal you, why are you asking Him to heal you? If God wasn't a God who could help you, why are you asking Him to help you? If God wasn't a God who could do miracles, why are you asking for a miracle? If God wasn't a God who can come to you and love you and help you in your deepest hurting time, if He's not a God who can do that, why do you go to Him? Understand, when you go and ask Him for those things, remember that He's the God who can do it. Hallelujah. Woo! I want you to understand that when we go to pray and seek His face about matters, that we are to enter in with praise and thanksgiving and saying, God, I'm hurting, I'm crying, I don't know what to say, but I know You're the God who can. I know You're the God who's able. I know You're the God who can forgive. I know You're the God who can heal. I know You're the God who can raise the dead. And I know You're the God who can restore us. And I know You're the God who can get us through all this. I give You praise. And while I give You a praise, I want you to understand I need Your help. And I need Your help because You're the God who can do something about it. I want you to understand that praise is to be a priority of God's people. When we come into His presence, we need to remember that He deserves first and foremost our worship, our adoration, our love, and our thanksgiving and our commitment. I'm thankful. How many of you are grateful that at least once a year we have on a calendar a celebration of Thanksgiving? How many of you are grateful for that? I'm very grateful for that. But I'm saddened that it's only there once a year. I want to say to you, for God's people, Thanksgiving ought to be every day. It should be a holiday that we celebrate every day. It must be a priority. So I want to ask you, on this holiday season, will you make a commitment with me that we'll not just thank God once a year, but that we'll thank Him on a daily basis? Listen to me. God deserves praise as a priority in our lives. You know what? I'm gonna challenge you to do something and help me, because I'm making a statement that I may be altogether wrong, and I want you to help me verify that. But you go through the Bible and you look for every time we find a description or a vision or an event where it's taking place in heaven. You go back and look, search Old and New Testament, find places where a description of something happening in heaven is going on, and I'll guarantee you, 99% of the time, you'll find out that those descriptions began with a praise and worship of Almighty God. And I want to tell you, if you haven't read them lately, you need to read Revelations 4, 5, 6, you need to read them, 7, because listen to me, hear me out. You need to hear me, that those chapters talk about what is going on in heaven. And the greatest description in all those chapters is a description of worship and praise taking place in glory. It's a priority in heaven. Is it a priority in our lives? Second, I want you to understand this short description of praise not only describes praise, thanksgiving, and worship as a priority, but it describes it as having a posture. And what do I mean by the word posture? No, I'm just using that and my alliteration as describing attitude, the word attitude. I'm just talking about the attitude that you have when you come into the presence of the Lord. And here's what I want you to understand. This Psalms, this short little description of praise, describes that when we come before the Lord, we are to come to Him with gladness. Look at verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with what kind of songs? Joyful songs. When you read the Psalms, it just is leaking an attitude of joy and gladness and excitement as you worship the Lord. Now I want to share with you that when we stand, or when I stand, when pastors stand before their congregation and they look out over their congregation, they see every kind of attitude sticking out of the faces of the people, their people, every Sunday. And sometimes they wonder, well, I wonder what in the world's going on with that person. Why does their face look like that? And then sometimes I don't have to wonder. They'll come to me and find me. And they'll let me know. It's amazing. Satan, you know what Satan despises? Listen to me. We talked about this last week. Everybody listen to me. Last week we talked about power and praise. You remember that? And the last thing we said about power and praise is that it has the ability to defeat and destroy the stronghold of the enemy. There's power to defeat the enemy. Satan does not want God's people to be happy. He doesn't want us to be excited. He doesn't want us to be joyful about Jesus Christ. So Sunday mornings before you get to church, he's already working on you and your family to make you miserable when you get here. How many of you would agree with that? And the bickering and the fighting that goes on before you even walk out the door of your house. And then on the way to church. And then when you get here, you're not happy. You don't like it because they're too loud or they're not loud enough. You don't like it because it's too cold or it's too hot. You don't like it. And all that coming out of you, there's no excitement about it you whatsoever. You sat down and you look like you've been sucking on a green persimmon. I want to say something to you. We need to somehow start waking up and saying, God, it's Sunday morning and I know the devil's going to come after me and my family. But I know you're worthy of praise. I should come to you with joyful thanksgiving with God's people together. We need to be excited and exuberant about our faith in you. Today, I just want to start praying before we even start getting dressed that you'll help us to somehow get through this morning and get to church and be able to put a smile on our face, joy in our heart, and when we come before the Lord, come with gladness of our heart and sing joyful songs unto our blessed Lord. He is worthy. And listen, while I stand up and preach to you about it, it's no different. I face the same battles. You will never know how many times I'm about to walk through those doors and come in here, and somebody comes to me and says, now, preacher, I got to talk to you about something. I'm getting ready to go preach. Well, this is important. I'm about to go talk to people about what God's laid on my heart. Yes, I know. But we got some things going on. You see, Satan tries to rob me of my joy as well. Because if he can get me up on this stage to be angry and to be not excited about him and to have my mind and thoughts dwelling upon what they were trying to say to me, then when I get up here, the joy is gone. I want to say to God's people, when we come together and enter His praise, let's come with joy, let's come with excitement, let's come, brothers and sisters, with a heart ready to sing and give Him praise and let Him know that we're not going to be disturbed about everything, and we're going to let Him know that He's on the throne, that we believe in Him, we love Him, and that He's worthy of our joy and our excitement. And as a matter of fact, I ask you a question. Did you hear that little one over there? Yeah. Praising the Lord. Shouting because that preacher's shouting, got to outshout him. Listen to me. I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to have that posture, that attitude. But by the way, where does joy come from? Comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. The Bible says that you and I, if we're a child of God, we have a joy that the world doesn't understand. A joy that is deep-seated that the world can't take away. And so listen, why should I come with glad hearts, singing joyful songs? Because my joy comes from heaven to begin with. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? How many of you think you're going to be sad when you get to heaven? When I get to heaven, I wonder how many long faces I'm going to have to look at. Why don't we start practicing here on earth what we're going to do in heaven? Jesus is our joy. Life's going to throw some difficult days to you, some hard times, days that you will cry and feel like you'll never be able to stop, days of depression, difficulty. Yes, this is a testing ground. Thank God, though, Christians understand something. It's the only hell you'll ever know. It's the only hell you'll ever live or experience. So thank God. If you can't thank Him for nothing else, just thinking that when you have to have those days of crying and depression, thank Him, though, that this will be the only time that you have depression. Thank Him that this is the only time that you will go through hell. And I'll tell you something. The more we start praising with joyful song, the greater our joy will grow. The more we do just the opposite, the more we'll get that way. I want you to understand, in this short description of praise, is powerful. Because it describes to us that praise is to be a priority. It describes to us that praise is to have a posture. And then third, this short description of praise describes worship, thanksgiving, and praise as having, similar to the same point, having passion. How does it start? How does this psalm start? With a word. A word that I like. I'm backing up. Shout to the Lord, he says. And believe you me, I can do that. I don't need a microphone. Listen, I got to tell you this. EL's got his hearing aid. Can you hear me, EL? And I went with him. And you know what was funny? I would go back in there with him, the deaf, helping the deaf. Because I was loud enough that he could hear me give the instructions that he needed to have. But then I'd have to say, huh, to the lady giving the instructions, what did you say? But here's the funny thing. As he got his hearing aid, he was so excited because he could hear Dr. Widener, Ann Widener, wonderful lady. If you need someone, a hearing aid specialist, she is marvelous, great Christian lady. He could hear her even when she would put something up in front of her mouth like this. He could hear her. Can y'all hear me right now? Then here's what happened. Here's what happened. We noticed that his voice began to get quieter. And you know why? Because he was hearing himself for once. But you know what they talked about? Mine didn't get quieter no matter what. And here's what I want to say. There is a time to be quiet. The Bible says there's even time to come before the Lord in quietness. But the Bible also says there's a time to come shout. There's time to come with a passion, with everything that you have within you, to exuberate out of you praise and worship to the point that when people look at you, they say, that man's crazy. He must love his Lord. Look at him. He's excited. He's thrilled. So I ask you a question. Do people know that you're thrilled about your Lord? How many of you went to the Clemson game yesterday? Any of you? Put your hand up. How many of you watched it? Or how many of you went to the South Carolina game yesterday? Got one over here. I don't know why y'all watched that one, but anyway. I watched the races yesterday. I'm going to watch them this afternoon. The final race, Jeff Gordon's last race. He's retiring, and I hope he doesn't win. But I can tell you this. The Jeff Gordon fans are going to be standing up. They're going to be so crazy and excited today as they try to push him to the front. They're going to be crazy about it. And they should be. That's their man. It's his retiring day. They're excited. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus never retired. He's always on the throne, and he's always there with you, and he's always there for me, and he'll never leave us nor yet forsake us, and he's given his life on the cross to save us. If we can get excited about the Clemson Tigers, if we can get excited about the South Carolina Gamecocks, if we can get excited about Jeff Gordon, then how crazy ought we to be about Jesus? Thrilled and excited that we come shouting into his presence, praise, and thanksgiving. And I close with this. There has to be a purpose. Man, preacher, you're leading us to be crazy. What is the purpose in doing it? Well, listen to what he says in verse 3. And this is the purpose, by the way. This short description of praise describes worship, thanksgiving, and praise as having a purpose. What is that purpose? Look at verse 3. Here's why you need to get excited. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His. That pretty much covers the whole basis, doesn't it? That pretty much says it all. Why should I be excited? Why should I be glad? Why should I sing joyful songs? Why should I have passion? Why should my attitude and posture be that of excitement and joy? Because of the purpose. And the purpose is that God created us and He saved us. You see, He created us to begin with. And then, after we sinned and fell short of His glory and slipped out of His spiritual family, He came to us, saved us, and made us the people of His pasture. We are His sheep. But it cost Him everything to make you and me His sheep. That's why He's worthy of us to praise Him with all of the energy that exists within us. Man, it's a short description, but understand something. It's also a powerful description. Amen. I ask you a question today. Do you not understand that one of the reasons why you might not be a person of praise may be because you've never experienced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to begin with? When you know Him, you will worship Him. When you know Him, you will want to praise Him. If you don't know Him, you don't have a reason to praise Him. But when you know Him, you will. So today, if you don't know Him, today's the day for you to come and say, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Follow Him and trust Him as my Lord and Savior. And then, Christians, let me say to you, as we begin the Thanksgiving holiday, let today be the day that you ask God to help Psalms 100 become real in your life. This altar is open for you to come and do that. And I challenge you to come and do that. Let's stand. And we'll sing our closing hymn. You come today, visitor, member, and friend.
Let's turn to hymn number 320, and sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. And God's people said, Amen. Tonight is our last night of the Legacy series that we've been showing and doing, and it has been a wonderful event, the school and the church working together. I want to thank the school for what they've done in watching our youth and our children and all of those from the church as well who have helped prepare the food and get everything ready. I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And I hope if you have not been coming out, still come out tonight on this last night. You'll still be blessed by coming and listening and receiving what has been teaching and taught upon, and you come out and be a part of this. We have our meal at 5:30, and then we began the video of Dr. James Dobson at 6:30. So I challenge you to come out and be a part of this event. It is going to be great, and it has been a thrill. And there are door prizes, by the way, that we've been giving out each and every week, and that's been going very well. I haven't won a thing, not one thing. Every time they draw my name, they put it back in. So, but you come out and be a part of this, and it's a great experience. And we have a lot of people from different churches that come, so I hope you'll come out and be a part of it, okay? All right, we're going to close in word of prayer. You have a great day in the Lord. And let me say this to all of you. Have a great, blessed, and safe holiday, okay? Love you all, okay? Thank you.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody that's brought meals and food out for the things on Sunday night and for the dinner we had yesterday or last Sunday. So if you have any dishes in the kitchen that you need to pick up, try and remember when you leave today to stop by and get them. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we enter this week of Thanksgiving, Father, just remind us that we have so much to be thankful for that we can thank you every day, all day, and never cover it all. Father, we are so thankful for what you have done for us and for the salvation you have provided through Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much for all you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.